always a pleasure to be able to stand and proclaim God's word in front of God's people. You know, just like, you know, I spent a lot of years playing sports, and I always got the butterflies no matter what level of competition I was there. And it's the same, you know, every time I have an opportunity to speak, but it's a good feeling because you know you have another opportunity to do what God would have you to do. So before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our God in heaven, we are so thankful. We're so delighted that you saw fit to see us be here this morning. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray that you will continue to bless us, that you will fill our hearts with your word, and that we will have the faith to execute those things that you would have us to do. Father, I pray that you will be with me at this time, that you will use me as a vessel, and that your words will flow through me in a way that will benefit each and every person that is within the sound of my voice. Father, be with us all. Help us to remove those distractions from our minds and have that focus on you at this time. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. So I remember the day I left for college like it was 27 years ago. Because it was so far away, the idea of family driving to campus, helping me move my items in and giving me long hugs and final words of wisdom was not really a possibility. Instead, I went to visit my brothers and sisters the day before and the day of, and family members were able to walk me to the gate at the airport. This was back at the time when you could actually go all the way to the gate to say their final goodbyes. And that mix of excitement to be venturing out on my own and that sadness of leaving the only home I had ever known was a bit overwhelming and full of anxiety, not just for me, but, you know, parents as well. But by the time I arrived and settled into my dorm and met my roommates, began to experience the college life, right? I felt that I had arrived. And then the classes started. And then the conflict with people started. And then the sleep stopped. And then, of course, Chase, the money ran out. All the comforts of home were slowly being replaced with that independent living. You know, from being in a refrigerator box that masqueraded as a dorm room to that poor imitation of a home-cooked meal. You know, by the way, you know, if you've ever had that pudding on Monday and then that same pudding with whipped cream on Tuesday and then that same whipped cream with pudding and sprinkles on Wednesday and then just to be sure on Thursday they put the cherry on top. You understand what I'm talking about. Professors who actually had lives outside of our life would share with you that whether you came to class or not, pass or fail, their lives would continue. That was pretty eye-opening, you know, coming from a high school where teachers would call you in to discuss any issues, reach out to parents if necessary, and genuinely seem to, you know that word, care. You know, my professor looked, you know, something like this, right? Or maybe something like that, right? All these things contributed to the idea, we may all have experienced it when we went away, of being homesick. We understand the idea of being homesick. You know, and now that I send two off to school, I think about, you know, what they're going to experience. And as a parent, feel a mix of emotions. You know, on one hand, we want them to feel a little homesick because we want them to appreciate the home where they were raised. On the other hand, we want them to find their own way and flourish as independent young adults. So what do we do as parents? As parents, when we have someone who goes off to school or the military or just away from home, we provide them with things like we send them off with words of caution, right? Be mindful of things that may come to take away from their goals and their purpose. We send care packages to them to remind them that we love them and We want them to have the best and also a little taste of home while they're away. We send means. I see all the youth over here should say amen on this one. We send money so they can have the things that they need and maybe even a few things they want. And of course, we send words of encouragement to them to let them know that, you know what, you can make it. Finally, and what was the case with me, they always sent me means to get back home. And so as we consider our lives as Christians today, we recognize that this world that God has put us in is not our home. Do we get homesick? You know, like Paul said, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. In other words, Paul was saying how homesick he truly was, and he couldn't wait to go home with Christ, but because of the needs of God's people, it was necessary for him to stay. You know, there's an entire lesson on just being homesick, and that's not where I'm going today. Someday maybe we'll have an opportunity to visit that together. But today I want to talk with you about the topic, letters from home. Letters from home. You know, when I first went off, I wanted to see and do everything. You know, that's not always a good thing. But that's just kind of where I was. People, perhaps that's why it took some strong words from home to remind me to, and you'll hear it all, call your mother. But as things became more routine and the stress of living in a strange new place began to sink in, I realized there was nothing better than a box of chocolate chip cookies from home. You know, usually along with a note, and in that note there was hopefully a check. And these care packages let me know that someone is still thinking about me. Someone still loves me. They want me to have everything to be successful and maybe even have a few things that I may want to make this journey a little more enjoyable. So let's think about those care packages that God provides to us. See, it's not just God's word that is a care package to us, but all the blessings that he sends our way. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. And we have peace to teach and to guide us. You know, we also have enjoyment from the hand of God. Sometimes this is often missed. It's one thing to have something. It's another thing to enjoy what you have. God gives that enjoyment. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 and 25. We also see 1 Timothy 6 and 17. If you turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to look at a verse here. Second Corinthians chapter 9, 10 through 12. It says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. You know, when God sends us a care package, we should recognize, you know, where it comes from and what it means to us. I like in verse 15, he puts in there, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Do we have an appreciation for the care packages God provides to us? You know, my first grade teacher, I'll share with you, Mrs. Tilmont. You know, I still struggle to call her Marion. Mrs. Tilmont was so important to me, just for being the woman she was, showing the love that she had, and really helping make things happen in my life and help me become who I am now. She would often send care packages to me. Not to earn my love, she already had that, but because of her love, she sent it. And so, you know, I had an opportunity once to write back to her, many times to write back to her, but I remember the first time I wrote to her, I wrote her this two-page note, and it was typed out. In fact, this was kind of special because, in fact, I mentioned in there that, hey, I'm not writing this to you, I'm typing it on my brand new Macintosh SE. And it allows me to do things like type it up on a rough draft and then just make corrections right on the screen. I don't have to write it all again. So as I'm writing this tour and I'm sharing with her my experiences, I even put it up here. You know, I put a few things up so that she would see that I cared for her and I really appreciate what she's done. Those circles, by the way, meant chocolate chip cookies, please send. Because I love the care packages that she would provide for me. If we think about what God has provided, do we take time to give him thanks for that indescribable gift that he provides to us? Also, not only does God provide us with these care packages, he provides us with words of caution. Before each of my sporting events, my father, or my second father, I call him, Denny, he would always say to me, "Cal, do good and don't mess up." As I was about to get on the plane my very first year of college, he repeated those same words to me. Cal pulled me aside and gave him a hug, and he whispers into my ear, he says, "Andrew, do good, don't mess up." And basically what he was saying to me was, those things you know to be right, do those things. Those things you know to be wrong, don't do those things. Real simple, six words, real simple, but it means a whole lot. God provides caution to his children as well, out of love and for our benefit, not his. You know, when our parents tell us we should do something or not do something, it's not so they benefit from it. It's so that we will. And God is the same way. He does it by often giving us the be-nots, I call them. The be-nots are things like Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Caution to not be as this world is, so that we are not delivered along with the world's fate. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. And then to add to that, Jeremiah 13:15. Be not proud, cautioning against puffing up self and leading to arrogance. Proverbs 23:20. Be not among winebibbers. And also, I love this verse, Proverbs 24:1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. You know, there are times and there are people that we do not need to always be around. God cautions us against the company that we keep. You know, often we may caution our children about going against or going to parties where drinking may be involved. But what about the office holiday parties? What about that Super Bowl party that we attend? Now, for all those who come to my house for a Super Bowl party, I'm not talking about that one, right? Are we following that same example that we often teach? And then, of course, we see 2 Thessalonians 3:13, be not weary in well-doing, and multiple areas where it says, be not afraid. Caution against the things that may hinder our faith. When we find ourselves too weary to keep going on, we find ourselves afraid to do the things that God would have us to do, you know, they can hinder our faith. And God is giving us that caution. He's letting us know, be not, so that we can be what God would want us to be. You know, God wants us to succeed. And he only warns us so that we'll be mindful of the things that would keep us from succeeding. That makes sense, right? Jesus helps us understand what some may have told our own children when he says, you know what, I've been where you want to go. I often said, you know, to my own children, your future is my past. If you hope to get there, do good and don't do the bad. You know, John 14:2-3. So you wonder, where did Jesus actually say that? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I've been where you want to go. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you shall be also. He gives us the word of caution because he wants us to be where he is. He also gives us some words of encouragement. I want us to really think about this for a moment. So often, we can be tried from all sides. This world, not just this present-day American society, has a way of making life a little bit difficult for a Christian. Whether it's the physical challenge of caring for this body and its needs, the emotional and spiritual challenges of trusting God when there are trials all around you, or the internal challenges of keeping God first. You know, Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, he had to deal with this. He dealt with the physical needs. You know, Satan even said, "Command these stones be made bread," Matthew 1 and 4. And after Christ had fasted 40 days and night, you know, that's when he comes to him. Oftentimes, Satan will come to us when we are at our physical weak point. We have to be mindful of these things. His response, however, and we see in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That was Philippians 4:19. Obviously, we know Christ says man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Emotional needs. You know, Satan says to him, cast yourself down, Matthew 1 and 6. Wanting to instill doubt that God would actually provide. But we see Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. We understand that God will always be there for us. Of course, Christ's response to him was that it's also written, you will not tempt the Lord thy God. And of course, our spiritual needs. Choosing to be loyal to worldly things over our loyalty to God. You know, he even says, Satan says to Christ, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. But we have to remember the response that he gave, and the response we know from Scripture, Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain what? The whole world and lose his soul. So we understand that there's that battle that went on between, I won't even call it a battle because it wasn't like there was an opportunity or a chance that Satan would win that. But we understand that if Satan is going to go after Christ, it should not be a surprise that he would go after us. You know, last week our guest speaker and a candidate who came in, you know, he spoke about the trials of Daniel in the den of lions and how God got him through that ordeal. But the encouragement Daniel received was not really in that evening, he spent in the den of lions, but was when he was first raised in the Word of God. See, if we look carefully, Daniel was in the lion's den long before that night he was thrown into the den of lions. Let's look at the scripture. Daniel 1:1-3, and also in verse 6. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and nobles. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. We also further read Daniel 6:3-5. Then Daniel began distinguishing himself. So Daniel is now, he's one of the captive. He's being held captive. He finds his way through a number of things. We can read through in first few chapters of Daniel, where he distinguishes himself among those who are there. Verse 3-5 of chapter 6, Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and the satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regards to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Let's be clear about something. Daniel was not only faithful to God, he did his work well. The reason why he was successful in the king's palace, in that kingdom, was not just because he trusted in God, or it was because he trusted in God that he was able to do what he had to do well. Daniel was a light, and I think that's something that we should be mindful of in every place that we go. So then finally, what happens? Then these men said, "We will not find any grounds of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning his God." Daniel was already in a land against his will, surrounded by those who wished to bring him down. God shut the mouths of the lions on the night we often read about, but he also shut the mouths of those who wished to tear him apart long before that. Church, that's something that we should all be thankful for and be proud of, because we know that my God, your God, lets us know that we do not have to wait to be thrown in the den of lions today. We're already there. And God is already, just like he did back then, shutting the mouths of those who went against him, or shutting the mouths of our adversaries. We do not have to wait. The den of lions is where we sit right now in this world. But we recognize the good thing. This world is not our home. God continues to give us words of encouragement and let us know through everything we can be victorious. You know, Savannah, yet in all things we are moved. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, Romans 8:37, right? We understand that for he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went, he prospered. Hezekiah 18:6-7. And we also know we have that victory, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, Dora. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John 5:3-4. So God, you know, we'll face a trying world, but God has always, is always, and shall always provide us with the words of encouragement that regardless of what we may go through, he will always see us through it if we keep our hands in his hands. So finally, you know, he provides us with this, these means, the care packages that allow us to accomplish our goals. He gives us words of caution regarding things that could keep us from our goals. He gives us encouragement to keep us focused on our goals. But the wonderful thing, what I love so much, is that he gives us a means to return home. You know, when I'm away on business, my wife will send me pictures of her and the kids, of, you know, food and funny things throughout her day, words of sound advice. She would say, you know, make sure you get your rest, you know, so that you're ready for your meetings. She often gives me, it always gives me encouragement. She'll say, you know you'll do well. I'm praying for you and I love you. Those things get me through the trip. But the fact that I know that I will see them again allows me to go through anything and everything that I do, with the hope of getting on that plane and returning to them. You know, when I realized that God sent Jesus and provided that means for me to see him in peace, I knew I could make it through anything. You know, that boss or coworker who only means ill for you, you may have experienced that. You know, the politicians who want to demonize your faith, the devil himself who, just like with Peter, wants to sift us like wheat. When God provided a means to return home, all of those things become but a minor obstacle to a greater reward. The question today is, are you a Christian? Do you have that feeling of not really feeling at home? You know, maybe that's God calling you today back to where he wants you to be. 2 Peter 3:9 actually says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Translation, not willing that you should die and be apart from him, but that you turn and come on home. God wants you to make heaven your home. He has provided cautions. He's shown you his love. He's provided for you. He's encouraged you. He's given his son as means for you to come back to him. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. As a Christian, maybe you're feeling homesick. Have you gotten lost somewhere along the way? God's care packages and encouragement can reach you wherever you are. Perhaps it's time for you to return home. Perhaps you want to come asking for prayers for you or others. But God wants to see us in the home that he has prepared for us. He's provided everything for us. And now it's our opportunity to show our appreciation, to show our love, to show our understanding for what he's done by coming back to him. So if you're not a Christian today, that home is still prepared for you, but there's something you have to do. You have to understand the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Once you understand that, do you believe it? You have to make up your mind, is this the truth? Is this the right thing? Do I believe it? Am I going to act upon that belief? Well, if you do, what the first thing you do after you believe is you repent. You turn from the way that you had been going. You turn from a way that the world would have you to go. You recognize that all the care packages and all those things are there for you, but God wants you to actually come home. So you turn from that direction and you turn to God. It doesn't mean come up here and tell us all your sins. Again, we'll be here all day if we had to do that. But just turning toward God and then confessing him. Matthew 10:32 talks about, if you confess me before man, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. After you confess, be willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:27. That you are added to the body of Christ. You now have a home that you can go to. You know, I'll tell you, I'm originally from Seattle, Washington. And every year we make a trip back there. And usually like a week or a two before, you know, I get kind of excited. Because I realize, you know, I'm going home, that place that I'm comfortable in, the place that, you know, I grew up in, the place I love so much, the place where, you know, they look at me and they love me for who I am. That's nothing compared to the welcome committee that God has for us. Now, the difference is, of course, by the time I'm ready to leave Seattle, I'm ready to go. But when we get to that home in heaven, we're not going to want to leave. We're going to be there. We're going to spend eternity with him. And 10,000 years will be as a day, as we hear the song often sung. You have a chance to return home. If you're a Christian and maybe you've lost your way, you don't have your GPS, we have the directions for you. You can return home. You can come asking God for prayer. You may have prayers for other people. We invite you to come forward, whether it's to become a Christian or to ask for prayers. We invite you at this time to come forward as we stand and as we sing.